Now, straight from the headlines, bringing you our latest top newsmakers. This is Miriam Raftery with the East County Magazine Radio Show on KNSJ 89.1 FM Descanso, the network for social justice. Today, we're going to be talking about the Sweetwater Authority draining Loveland Reservoir. On November 16th, the authority began a water transfer to drain off water from Loveland in the Alpine area and send it to the Sweetwater Reservoir. This is making the water so low, it's being drained down to Deadpool status. We'll be talking about in a minute. And the water district has ended fishing entirely at Loveland in order to send drinking water to residents elsewhere in Chula Vista, National City, and Bonita. And they're saying it's because of the drought. My special guests today are Russell Walsh. He is a local resident who has been battling to prevent this from happening. We'll also be speaking with Steve Hales, a retired Navy captain who's working on forming a nonprofit to protect recreational access at Loveland. And Kim Dudzik, did I pronounce that right?
Dudzik,
a biologist and dean of math and science at Cuyamaca College. So welcome to the show, all of you. Russell, can you start by explaining to listeners what Deadpool status means exactly? Just how low was the reservoir historically or in recent times, and how low are they draining it down to at this point?
When full, the lake is 400 surface acres, and that would be approaching Hepatool Road. Mm-hmm. Where it was before they started draining recently was about 200 surface acres, and minimum pool is said by the Sweetwater Authority to be approximately 10 surface acres. So there's a very small amount of water.
So it's less than 1%, like a fraction of 1%.
Half of 1%. Half of 1%, I believe, is the correct math for that.
So this sounds just devastating. And I know for you, I understand as a recreational enthusiast, this has got to be really, really disappointing. Now, Russell, you have long contended that this type of action is prohibited because of a land swap deal about 25 years ago involving the Forest Service and Sweetwater, under which Sweetwater got land from the federal government and in exchange issued an access easement to Loveland to the Forest Service. As I understand it, that easement back in 1997 identified a shoreline fishing program to be administered from sunrise to sunset and other protected activities such as bird watching and hiking. You've contended that the Forest Service is responsible for protecting recreational access at Loveland, and yet in recent years, the Forest Service has denied that it has any such responsibility, claiming the easement only allows a maximum level of recreational access, but not a mandate. Can you explain a little more about what you found that leads you to believe the Forest Service is not fulfilling its responsibility to protect the public access here?
Well, first of all, the easement is to the shoreline from sunrise to sunset, to the shoreline for bird watching, hiking, and fishing from sunrise to sunset. And shoreline, by definition, has water.
Right.
Now that it's not really that powerful. To most people's reading, that would say that we have fishing down there in perpetuity as the easement runs in perpetuity. The issue, going a little bit deeper, is that the Sweetwater Authority induced the land swap with a synopsis of water in the east end of the lake that anglers would not be missing, even in the case of drought. Not It was protected in the wording as it was delivered and presented through the Descanso Ranger's office. Descanso Ranger E. Nelson Dean was that the water history guarantees fishermen access to more water than they had in the fishing that was mandated to be protected, which was at a different part of the lake where the Sweetwater Authority didn't want it. So the Sweetwater Authority chose the east end of the lake to satisfy the mandate for protecting fishing. And the Descanso Ranger vetted that with the public and claimed that the public acquiesced or accepted the proposal that the Sweetwater had delivered him to negotiate.
And Sweetwater again, you know, we invited them to be on the show to discuss this, and so far they have declined to respond, declined to send anybody. We emailed the entire board of directors, the chairman, and the manager for the Water Authority, and they did acknowledge getting the email and said they would get back to us, and they have not. Nor did they answer any of the pointed list of questions that we sent them. Kim, as a biologist, can you give us your expert opinion on how such a drastic draining of the lake, Loveland Reservoir, will affect the ecology there and what the impacts will be on, or could be on, fish, birds, other wildlife, you know, plants and so forth?
Yeah, well, you know, species are adapted to the area that they're in. And so when there's a drastic change, a really fast change to their environment, they can't keep up with that change. And so it results in a die-off of several different species. So right now with the water, of course, we have fish in there. There are invertebrates in there. The plant life around it, the cattails, are a host to many different types of, you know, it's a nursery for fish may lay their eggs in those protected still waters. Many other invertebrates, both water and insect animals would lay their eggs in those areas. Birds may use those areas as nesting.
Any endangered or threatened species out there?
I don't know exactly which species. I haven't done a survey myself in there. I have heard that the arroyo toad does exist in there. And so that would be a species of concern, losing its habitat. You know, the other thing that would happen with the plants that are dying off, with the cattails, when they don't get their water, then they just dry up and that becomes a fire hazard. If you hike through there, one of the main plants that I see is just horseweed. These really tall, spiky looking plants that stick up maybe 3-4 feet tall. And that's just horseweed, and they're dry and they're mixed with the mustard. And that's a fire hazard.
We can talk about fire in a minute. Can the area recover from this? If we, in future years, get enough rains, will those species bounce back? Or do you think this could be the end of some of them out there?
It depends, again, on which species and what critical numbers that they're at. I think certainly you could see a loss of certain species like the arroyo toad. Yeah. New species may move in, but there'll be a big shift in the ecology.
Yeah.
Even some of the birds, the nesting, they may move to other areas. And so it would be a very drastic shift in the ecology.
I know that fire danger is huge here, wildfires, and obviously agencies such as CAL FIRE, as well as some of the other fire agencies locally, regularly use our reservoirs as water sources for the helicopters to dip down and scoop up water. I asked Sweetwater, among the many questions I didn't want to answer, was, did you reach out to fire agencies to ask them how this might impact their ability to fight fires and save homes out there? Before you decided to drain this lake this low, and they don't want to answer that question so far. But obviously, I think that's a really serious, maybe even the most serious concern on here. We also ask Sweetwater what effort the district has made to get its customers to conserve water or increase its water storage capacity or recycling and so forth before doing something so drastic. They also have not answered those questions. But I think it's worth noting that, you know, whether or not the legal argument about this land swap and the Forest Service's and, you know, responsibility to protect recreation stands up or not, and I don't know that if it goes to court, it very well maybe, but it seems to me that whether or not there's a legal obligation, there is an ethical and a moral obligation not to just take water from backcountry residents and that firefighters might use and that wildlife relies on, unless it's absolutely, you know, there's no other choice. We look at what other agencies have done, and we've seen places, you know, like San Diego Water Authority. They deepened the San Vicente Reservoir by doing the highest dam raise in the area, and, you know, managed to avoid these kinds of things. to increase their water storage. Many of the other water agencies out here have joined with the Pure Water program or others. They're doing water recycling, drinking, you know, to recycle water for us to drink so that they won't have to, again, to just drain down their reservoirs. And some in past droughts, at least, I live in Helix Water District, we had mandatory water restrictions where you couldn't water your lawns on certain days or wash your cars. Now, I asked Sweetwater if they've done any of that, and I haven't gotten an answer. Do any of you know if they've done any of those things?
If I may interject here, the Sweetwater ratepayers are doing their part. And the Sweetwater Authority is certainly not encouraging additional use of water. Mm-hmm. So on that, I think they're good.
But have they done mandates? I mean, there's a difference between asking people voluntarily to conserve and imposing.
Their customers are already the lowest users in the county.
Okay, so that's...
And so they've been doing their part since 2015.
Thank you for that.
Sure.
What about increasing water storage or looking to broaden their water supplies with things like, water recycling programs?
Sure, they're doing that. They're part on that, investigating those situations and possibilities, as long as I believe taxpayer money could support them in those issues, or if they could find a contractor to do something like that. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, with the deepening of the reservoir, there's a strategy to continue to return Loveland to Deadpool as frequently as necessary to keep the water level at Sweetwater topped up in a condition that the potential contractor would need, which is a level between 195 and 216 feet above mean sea level. And that's for a dredging operation to San Minette, wow, Sweetwater Reservoir.
Do they have other reservoirs? How many reservoirs does Sweetwater have? Do you know?
They have these two reservoirs plus a desal plant plus wells in National City in the area of South Bay. I'm not sure exactly where those wells are.
Okay. Steve, we haven't heard from you yet, but tell us a little bit about what's gotten you involved in all of this.
Hey, Miriam. I've known Russell for a number of years, and I've been talking to him for a few months about this Loveland Reservoir situation. About a month ago, he and I walked over the lake, and I just see a potential environmental disaster there if all that water's removed. Yeah. And I'm just very aware, as Kim has said, that if the water, almost all life depends on water. And if that water goes, where are the animals going to get a drink? Where are they going to nest? Where are they going to do this? Where are they going to do that? So that's my primary concern. So when I was walking, I just suggested that a collective voice might be more effective than just ad hoc individual efforts. So I suggested that we consider a nonprofit.
Yeah,
and that's kind of where we're at now.
So how far along are you with this? Do you have a name for it, a mission statement for this nonprofit? Any ETA on when that might be running? I know it takes a while. I've started.
Those are all good questions. It's preliminary. It would probably be a Friends of Loveland Reservoir. Our mission statement will be, and you know, I haven't fine-tuned the wording here, but it'll be something to the effect of our mission is obviously to protect the water and the wildlife and the environment around the Loveland Reservoir.
Yeah, and the recreational access, I would assume.
And we'll probably do recreational access and whatever else.
Yeah, as well. So the real question is like really boils down to, was this really necessary or not? How bad is the drought situation now compared with in the past? I mean, why now? And it's interesting that they proceeded with this even just a couple days after the heaviest rainfall that we'd had in a long time here. If devil's advocate question, I guess, would be, if they don't do this, how are they going to meet the drinking water needs or other water needs for the users in their district? Russell, I'll throw that question out, I guess, to you or to any of you that want to talk about that.
Sure. I think I am best to answer that question. I've been involved with this much longer, and the talents of Kim and Steve are immense, and they're going to be very productive, but I've been involved with this longer. So what they have is a situation, is a financial situation. The drought, I believe, is being used to manipulate public opinion on the necessary necessity to drain Loveland Reservoir because there's not a necessity. They historically, for the last 25 years, have supplemented their water or maybe even got the bulk of their water. I can't do the numbers from the San Diego County Water Authority. So it's all in the aqueduct system, Metropolitan Water District, San Diego County Water Authority. And they have no scarcity of water possibilities. None whatsoever.
So it's just, this is just the cheapest thing for them to do. Is that basically
it's the cheapest thing for them to do. So to address one of the parts of your question was, what did they do about drought before? First of all, this is not about drought. In the period of 2006 to 2010, we had consecutive years where rain never went above the trend line for San Diego County, anywhere in San Diego, it didn't go above the trend line. Right. And I was fishing back then. Lake users got along fine. They even installed a fishing dock with HUD and congressional facilitation at that time, in that era of less rainfall than we're having right now. So locally, we have not had historically bad rains. In the state, we have. And that's what's being manipulated. We had two mediocre rain years, but the lake was full when they did the initial excessive draft in January of 2021. And that followed a vote by the board of directors on September 9th, 2020, to change their water policy and remove not only the recreational minimum pool that supports conservation, but also the 3-month emergency supply. So they tapped into the 3-month emergency supply in 2021. By 1,000 acre feet.
And I'm not seeing any other water agencies doing anything this drastic.
No, this is a choice by the board of directors. The board of directors before would never have made this choice.
Yeah. One of the big problems here is it's an inherent problem in the San Diego region is that cities like Chula Vista, National City, which basically is the board of directors, you know, representatives from those cities on the Sweetwater Authority, as well as the city of San Diego with its, you know, these cities own the water that's in most of our reservoirs or many of our reservoirs out here in East County. And this is not the first time we've seen something like this happen. Several years ago, when the drought was much worse than it is now, the city of San Diego decided to just take Lake Marina's water and drain it down to, they said 5%, but at one point it actually got down to 2 or 3% because more of it got taken for, you know, for firefighting and in more drought and evaporation. And, you know, people out there were livid. They had fish die-offs. They had, you know, toxic algae, I mean, all kinds of problems. And I interviewed a water guy from the city of San Diego and asked him pointedly, you know, what have you done to get your people to conserve in your district? Nothing was the answer, basically. Have you done any of these other things? No, no, no. So you're just basically taking it because you can. And he said, pretty much that's it. And the problem is that the people who are impacted can't vote for these folks. You know, none of you guys can vote for the directors on the Sweetwater Authority. People in Lake Marina couldn't vote for the San Diego City Council. I don't know what the answer is to this. If anyone has an idea on how that inequity could be addressed long term, maybe at the state level or some legislation to challenge this whole thing, but it just seems so wrong. I'd love to hear your opinions about where is the equity in this?
I might be able to address some of that. I think what's happening now is that this board is not really honoring the past board's mission. Back in 1997, this board had this forward thinking of preserving the environment in balance with the human needs as well. I mean, it's right there in their mission. It said board of directors and three Sweetwater Authority staff are strongly committed to preserving and managing the watershed and natural biological resources through a balanced approach to human and environmental needs. So while on the one hand, of course, we want the people in Chula Vista to have clean water at a good rate, but this is not a balanced approach.
Right.
This is what is different now. This is not a balanced approach. It is devastating this ecological area. And the commitment to also preserving the fishing in the area, that's all a part of the ecology. You know, it's not just about some guy being able to throw his pole out there. That's all goes with this balanced approach to the ecology. So that's really what we're seeing here.
This is also, I think, the only reservoir in that area that had free recreational access, or at least free fishing access. We should know there's a lot of economically disadvantaged people who live in the backcountry. There are very high poverty rates out there. I know some of the school districts not far from there have, you know, the majority of the kids on the federal school lunch program. So free fishing is important. And, you know, in some areas, people eat the fish. I mean, it's an important, and others, it's a recreational opportunity for folks. Russell, you have tried valiantly. I've been CC'd on a lot of the emails that you've sent to try to get your elected officials that you do have. And again, you can't, you know, you're not represented by anybody in Sweetwater. But I know that you've contacted folks at the congressional level, state representative, county supervisors, folks at the Forest Service, and so forth. Can you briefly summarize the responses that you've gotten from your elected officials on this?
In one word, weak. So, but you know, going further into that, I believe the Forest Service has abandoned us, and was incompetent in handling my pressure, and is for all practical purposes covering that up. And that's throughout the Forest Service. It's very unfortunate, and it's very sad to me, because the democratic aspect of this is very important to me. So that's one of the most disappointing things, actually. We can get the lake back, but this is emblematic of what's going on for people. It's very problematic. Locally, I think if we could get a new Descanso Ranger, that would be a good start, because he's not on our side, and he has never been, and that's very well documented in his responses to me.
Who is the current ranger at Descanso?
His name is Robert Heyer. Now, going to our elected representatives here, I asked Joel Anderson to take this to county council.
County supervisor, I should add.
Yeah, county supervisor Joel Anderson. I asked him to take this.
Is it in his district?
Yes, it is.
Okay. And what was his response?
I worked mostly with his chief officer, Maggie Sleeper, and she's amazing. And she did get a response from county council, and that was that the Board of Supervisors would have to vote to let them look at it. I believe there was no political will to let that happen, originating with Joel Anderson, and because he knew he wouldn't get support.
So he wouldn't put it on the agenda.
From the board. He wouldn't put it on the agenda. He said he would sue, and I believe we have the support of Jim Desmond, but Supervisor Anderson would not put it on the agenda, and probably because he would get backlash from his colleagues there.
Wow. That's really disappointing.
That's what I surmise.
Yeah. And we certainly welcome, I might add, comment from, you know, Supervisor Anderson or anyone else that is mentioned on this, if you want to, you know, if you want to give us a new, more nuanced position. But basically, I think Supervisor Anderson is a pragmatic legislator, and if he doesn't think he can win a battle, he may not take it on.
Absolutely.
What about the congressional representatives you've been in touch with? I believe that was Congressman Juan Vargas and Congressman Daryl Issa. Which one has this in their district, by the way?
The Sweetwater Authority is in Congressman Vargas's district, and so am I. I'm right on. If I step out in the middle of the road on my house, I'm okay. In Congressman Issa's district, and the lake is in Congressman Issa's district. And so
you could use and enjoy it, live in ISIS district.
Both districts.
Both, yeah. Okay.
And so I approached Congressman Vargas first because he's my representative. And can I say deadbeat? there we go. I'm done with that one. I'm done with that one.
We're not allowed to say on radio. You can say it.
I'm done with that one.
Okay.
So Congressman Issa is standing down, and he claims that there's no federal nexus that he can use to try to help us. And I think that's disingenuous.
Interesting. Untrue, in other words.
Sure.
It's really sad. So where do you go from here? Are you considering a legal challenge? Have you talked to any lawyers about this yet?
I've tried. My hands are pretty tied, as like Steve said, a kind of lone wolf rebel. A community organizer that can only do so much with what I have. So as we increase our talent pools and support, I think that's a possibility for sure.
So you're looking to do fundraising to try to, is it an issue of not enough money to hire a lawyer to take this on, or just, you know, you need more people to just show a stronger show of support out there? I should add also, can you tell us what other groups you've been in touch with that have voiced concerns about what's happening? I believe some of the environmental groups, perhaps.
I've been working with the Sweetwater Authority. The Audubon Society endorsed this land swap, and I believe they were induced to do so, but we're not making a lot of headway there. Cleveland National Forest Foundation endorsed this land swap, and I've talked with Duncan McFederidge to see that he would concur that we are, in fact, experiencing a bait and switch from the Sweetwater Authority. Mm-hmm. So those things are potentially going to build steam, and I think your interview might help with those.
Yeah, Duncan, we might add, I mean, his group, Cleveland National Forest Foundation, has a history of filing often successful lawsuits challenging various things locally that are harmful to the environment. So it would be interesting to see where that might go. So what else would you like listeners to know, each of you, that we may not have, that I may not have thought to ask, or that you want to elaborate on?
Yeah. Would you like, guys like to go?
Go ahead, Russell.
Steve or Kim?
I'll go ahead and a little bit of silence there, so I'll go ahead and speak. I'm still getting myself up to speed. I'm mainly following Russell's lead here, but you know, this is just a once a lifetime resource. Once it's gone and those animals are gone or extinct even, you just can't snap your fingers and get them back with the next rain. So it's important we do something soon.
How long does it take to actually drain the lake down to Deadpool status? How many days or how many weeks?
Russell, didn't they say it was going to take a couple weeks?
I imagine it's between 1 and 2 weeks.
And it began.
It's not a whole lot of water in there, but it does take time. They have a fairly small outlet valve to pass the water through.
So if people who care about this issue and want to see Loveland Reservoir preserved and not drained down to 0.5% of its capacity, as the Sweetwater Authority is in the process of doing, what can they do? Where can they get more information? How can they get involved? You know, and kind of join your team that are forming up a nonprofit to fight this.
Russell, you want that one?
Well, we're building, and I'm so relieved not to be as isolated as I have been, and I've had a lot of supporters, super appreciate that. I think what people should know is there's a bright side, a lot of bright sides here. First of all, the talent and people to put the time in is on the way. It's coming. We will get organized, and there'll be opportunities and interest for people in participating. So we're doing good there. The lake will be back. It will take some time. And I think the desire to have it, it's more tangible now. The lake is gone. Dealing with the threat is one thing.
Right.
It's more tangible now, and it's very problematic. So I think people like to solve problems.
Yeah.
They don't like to just worry about threats. I think they like to solve problems.
Are you putting up an online petition or anything, or a website or a place ultimately where people will be able to, sign up, show that they want to get involved? Or is there an email that we can give them or anything if they want to get in touch with them?
Those things are all evolving.
Okay. So for now, I guess, readers, if you want to reach out to me at editor@eastcountymagazine.org, I can forward on any emails we get to Russell, and they can reach out once they're, in a position to use the help. In the meantime, I would say the one thing that everyone can do, especially those of you who live in the Sweetwater Authority District and who vote for these representatives, two of whom just got reelected unopposed, I might add, is that you can go to their meetings, show up. Or do they do virtual meetings? Could people call in or Zoom in and voice their opinion about this if they don't like it?
Certainly they can.
Yeah,
because the board meetings are open, and the Sweetwater Authority website has options for submitting websites. A website for submitting public comments, doing public records requests, and also finding their agendas. And I can help anybody with this, and I'm very glad to do that. And finding links to a Zoom meeting like this to observe and have an opportunity to speak for 3 minutes before the board of directors.
Board of directors for Sweetwater Authority.
Mm-hmm.
Very good. Well,
Can I just interject in there a little bit? I just wanted to say, anybody who does care about this in any capacity, your voice does matter. If you could go to these board meetings, email the board members, whatever, let them know that you care about Loveland Reservoir. We will get organized. Once we start this nonprofit, we will start to get that our information out there. We'll have a web page. We'll be able to show, you know, people who aren't able to maybe get out there themselves as often as they like, we'll be able to show through videos and pictures and things what's happening. And hopefully maybe GoFundMe things will come in the future.
And you don't have to wait to get that nonprofit status.
Yeah, so we'll get the nonprofit started and look for that.
Yeah, another option is some groups that are forming and waiting on their IRS nonprofit status, which can take quite a few weeks, is they'll get a fiscal sponsor from an existing nonprofit that's willing to do that, which allows you to begin fundraising immediately, and it's under the oversight of the other nonprofit. So if there was, say, an environmental group or someone that is listening who wanted help with that, that's something they could do. Are you also looking for a public interest attorney if one happens to be listening to this and wants to, you know, help mount a legal challenge? Is that someone you're interested in hearing from as well?
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think that's probably going forward in the next few weeks, that'll be one of our number one agenda items, is to get an environmental attorney of some type. So absolutely, if somebody can offer some advice, some guidelines, something along those lines, yes, we would very welcome that.
What about something more immediate to try to get maybe an injunction to stop the draining before it's complete? I realize it's pretty far along, but...
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Very good. Well, I want to thank all of you for taking the time to join us here today on the East County Magazine radio show on KNSJ 89.1 FM, Descanso, the network for social justice.
Thank you.